the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Skies for amber waves of grain.
I don't know that you can hear this and not think of the movie The Sandlot, but anyhow, we kick off hour number three of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson here at Food City in Maynardville, and you can come by, get registered for the big ticket. You have until 7 o'clock to text today's word to 68683, and we'll have two qualifiers, two finalists from today's registration. Now, here's how it works. It's limit one entry per remote per household. You must be 18 or older to participate. But we are here, Food City, 4344 Maynardville Highway, with a fantastic grand prize up for grabs, the big ticket. And the only place you can register this afternoon is by texting the word that we have displayed on our table. And we are just to the right if you're facing the front of the supermarket, the store here. We're just to the right. You find this word, you text it to 68683, you're entered, you're registered, and perhaps a finalist. But, Jimmy, we get to this day in the calendar, which is the last Sports Talk episode before we step aside for the 4th of July, and hope everyone gets to have a safe and happy weekend. But always like to throw a tip of the cap to what is a great sport, the national pastime in the sport of baseball, and we start with what is, I think, a huge find, and it's courtesy of former Tennessee assistant, two tenures with the Volunteers, Larry Simcox. He gave me some DVDs that had a lot of material from either the 95, 01, or 05 teams. And since this is the 25th anniversary of that 95 team being the first from Tennessee to get to the College World Series, since the only other team since 1951, I thought this would be a perfect way to start the second half of the program. And what is you're going to hear, now granted, there are a lot of video highlights, but you'll do just fine hearing the clips from folks that were on the team. This was produced right after the 95 season. So you're going to hear from guys like Bryce Christensen, Travis Copley, R.A. Dickey, Todd Helton, Travis Exum, Eduardo Figueroa, Jason Franklin. You'll also hear from team members Ed Lewis, and let's see, Scott Schreffel, Scott Vieira, Matt Whitley, and Dave Serrano, who with what he was wearing when he sat for his commentary, I think Dave would have been a fantastic character in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. But again, we are talking 1995. But anyhow, it's something to hear, and I think people are going to enjoy it because it is a big-time trip down memory lane. So why don't we go ahead and get... We're going to have a very recognizable voice that opens... You'll love the music, but then it'll be great to hear the voice once again of one Haywood Harris.
In 1994, the University of Tennessee baseball team captured the Southeastern Conference Championship, posting a 24-5 SEC record and a 52-14 overall record. For a second consecutive season, the Vols won the SEC Eastern Division and the SEC Eastern Division Tournament Championship.
Well, I think the thing that's impressive about Tennessee is that we can go anywhere in the country and recruit because we have name recognition.
Kids want to come into a big program like this. The program has a lot of class, has a lot of glamour. I mean, it's on the rise. It's definitely on the rise.
It's very well known.
This is a real team. I never played in a team where you can really say team.
Definitely when I got here on my recruiting trip, the first thing that came to my mind was first class. Everything's first class. It's known nationwide now. Everybody knows who we are and knows that we're going to come after them if we're playing.
For Tennessee baseball, it didn't look like it could get much better than 1994. For Vol baseball fans, 1994 provided thrill after seemingly unmatched thrill.
Now here's Vieira. Vieira was not a high school All-American. But what's going through his mind? What's going through Vieira? Pierre, it's my idea. Thanks for giving me this chance. There's you. He's the man. And the last time Scott Vieira hit with the bases loaded, he hit one over the fence for a three-run single at Georgia. Bases loaded. The pitch. Hit high in the air. Did he break center field? It's going to go to the wall. It's over the fence. It's a grand slam. And he deserves it. There is justice in the world. Scott Vieira has homered for Tennessee. A slammer. And Tennessee beats Clemson 5-1.
'95 surely couldn't be the season for Tennessee that '94 was. Surely it couldn't be. But Rod Delmonico's '95 Diamond Vols had other ideas. They had something very special as a team. Something that would carry them all the way to Omaha.
Well, our goal was this year is like it will be every year as long as this staff is here, and that's to win the national championship and go to Omaha. We came up a day short last year as Arizona State beat us in the last day to go to Omaha, but that's our goal. Of course, we want to win the Southeastern Conference Championship every year and go to a regional. And of course, if you do those things, that gives you an opportunity to go to Omaha.
We want to win a national championship, you know. That's, we want to win the SECs, we want to win a regional, we want to not only go to the World Series, we want to win the thing.
This team's going well. Coaches, you know, harp the whole year, national championship, getting Omaha. I think each year the team has done something a little bit different, won the SEC. And I think now it's the turn to go to Omaha and contend for a national title.
The team goals, we have a lot of team goals, but the one goal is to get to the College World Series. And when we get there, we want to win the national championship. We want to be national champions. And that's been our goal as far as I know ever since I've been here. And so I don't think that's changed. And, you know, we've got a lot of other little goals. We got personal goals, and we also got other team goals as far as just going step by step. And, you know, we're in the SEC, the regionals, and keep right on going.
As far as the team goes, you know, I don't think that anybody on the team, I think I can speak for everybody on the team when I say that we're not going to settle for anything less than Omaha, you know. And as far as personally, you know, just to go out there and win every game that I pitch, you know, I'm not going to have a set number. I'm going to win 20 games this year. I'm going to win 15 like last year. But every time I go out to have the same goal in mind, that's to win the game.
We hope to win a national championship. I think we've set our sights too low in the past couple of years, and now if we set it on not just getting to Omaha, but to winning the national championship, I think if we really keep that in mind the whole season, we'll have a chance to get there.
Win it all. Basically, it's just, you know, we don't want to stop anything short and taking the whole thing.
There was a lot to replace for Tennessee in 1995. A lot of key people gone and a lot of firepower lost. The Vols had to replace five everyday players, and they were all all-star caliber. It took a while to fill the holes. Senior Matt Whitley moved to short, while junior Ed Lewis went to second. The Whitley-Lewis combo gave Tennessee an unlikely double play combination that would prove not only effective, but productive. Their magic came through hard work.
Everybody knows that when we go out on the field, we're going to win.
Senior Bryce Christensen moved from center field to left field, opening up a slot for transfer Scott Schreffel. Schreffel came to UT with reputation of being a do-it-all player. But little did anyone imagine what all he would wind up doing for the men in orange and white. The Vols catchers would come to typify the year. Veteran Scott Vieira seemed to be the easy answer behind the plate, but his versatility led him to third base, a position he had never played before. Newcomer Ray Espinosa only expected to become a spot player and ended up as Tennessee's starting catcher. Espinosa would prove to be a splendid, if unspectacular, star. As for pitching, Ryan Myers was ready to take his place as the number two starter for Tennessee behind R.A. Dickey. Myers was ready, but who was ready to be number three? A good question, which seemingly there were different answers for every weekend. In the early season, Coach Delmonico would be forced to experiment a great deal, and Tennessee would be forced to lean on their All-American, Todd Helton. Helton's relief pitching was called on numerous times early, and his bat and glove at first base were needed even more. It was never more evident than in the first SEC series of the year against nationally ranked Arkansas.
It's amazing to see the guys, you know, the guys I'm playing with, you know, in high school I read about, you know, R.A. Dickey and Todd Helton. And now, you know, getting to know them, spend time with them, and playing with them, it's just, you know, unbelievable seeing how these guys work.
It's my privilege for me to play in a team where I have these two great ball players. Just not all talent-wise, but just the way that they act, the way they act around people and the way they work.
They both have a lot of talent. They both have a lot of heart. When the game's on the line, whether we're on defense, R.A. wants the ball. Whether we're on offense, Todd wants to be up at the plate.
With R.A., I think he's a bulldog. He loves being out there. He wants the ball in the bottom of the ninth, you know.
I think a lot of the reason that I'm successful, and I know a lot of reason that Todd's successful, is that we're both really, really competitive. You know, in inner squad, I remember him getting up against me and me just wanting to strike him out every single time, you know. And that's part of baseball, and that's what makes both of us good players, is the fact that we're so competitive. And, you know, when I'm out there on the mound, I don't want anybody to get a hit. I don't want anybody to reach base. If I do, I feel like I failed in a certain sense.
It's just so dominating for some teams that a lot of teams will break down when he's there, and the same thing with R.A., you know. R.A. goes out, maybe has a bad game one day, but still, just him being out there, their team thinking, geez, we got to face R.A. Dickey today. And then when they're on, you know, and Dickey's throwing well and Helton's hitting well, then it's just, you know, basically it's over for the other team.
Going inside is how I pitch, you know. I'm the inner half of the plate's my plate, and if you get near, you might get hit. So they go up there thinking that. You know, they're going to see that. If you step too close to the plate, there's a chance you're going to get one kneecap. So that's just how it is.
After R.A. Dickey opened the series with a three-hit shutout, Helton personally won game two. The junior from Knoxville picked up the win in relief while tying a school record with three home runs in the game.
Here's the pitch. Helton ropes it to deep, deep right field. Adios! Todd Helton will touch each and every one of the four bags. That's home run number five, RBI number 25. For number three, Todd Helton. Tennessee 1, Arkansas nothing.
The Vols would go on to sweep that series, which would prove important as Tennessee won just two SEC games over the course of the next 2 weeks. The Big Orange stood 5-4 in the conference as they headed to Kentucky. Georgia came to Knoxville next, and another sweep followed. The win streak grew, and so did the Helton legend. His arm provided Tennessee with a complete game victory on Sunday. Todd's bat helped Tennessee get the other two.
His next run batted in will be his 200th. The pitch. Helton ropes it to deep right field. If it stays fair, it's a home run. It is fair ball. Adios! Todd Helton has just hit home run number 13. Matt Whitley coming to touch. Scott Treffel on his way to the dish. And here comes number three, Todd Helton. Career home run number 31. RBI 200, 201, and 202. Tennessee 3, Georgia nothing.
Tennessee ran off 10 straight victories before South Carolina snapped the string. But the Vols came back to win that series as well, with freshman pitcher John Alkire twirling a complete game beauty in Game 3.
0-2 to Doerr, two outs, nobody aboard here in the top of the seventh. Second? What am I talking about? The pitch, right down the middle. What's Doerr doing? He's looking at strike three. Strikeout number 9 for John Alkire. They go in order in the seventh. The South Carolina game.
The final SEC weekend provided a trip to Gainesville and a rare Saturday doubleheader against Florida. It provided the most unlikely comeback of the year. The Gators had won Game 1 and had Game 2 salted with a 4-0 lead in the 8th. Tennessee counted for 2 in the top of the 8th and won a miraculous victory in the 9th. The win gave Tennessee the Eastern Division title for the 3rd year in a row. Now it was time to go for a second straight Southeastern Conference crown.
I believe our team is very hardworking.
I think the work ethic's good. You never want to be satisfied as a coach with the work ethic, because once you're satisfied, then your team's going to get a little lax. But it's good. I think we go out on a daily basis, and I think we work hard as a team. We set goals each day to get better as a team. And if you don't want to walk up the field every day a better baseball player, you're not going to get better. This group that I'm working with this year are as good a kids, as hardworking a kids that I've been around.
And so comments from, at the time, Tennessee assistant coach Dave Serrano. That was the regular season. We'll move to the postseason as we continue. It's the 1995 Tennessee Volunteers bound for Omaha. We'll get a break and be back with more. Sports Talk today is at Food City in Maynardville. Come by, find the word that you text to 68683. You'll be registered for the Big Ticket 2020 and could be one of the finalists from today's registration. This is Sports Talk on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Sports all the time. It's not a lifestyle we chose. We were born this way. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Well, if you ask me where I come from,
Sports Talk continues. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. The program today, we are set up in Maynardville. We're at Food City, and this is the place to be. Everybody hopefully getting ready for a fun, safe, and happy 4th of July weekend, as the 4th is upon us. And so why don't we bring you part two? This is the conclusion. This is the 1995 Tennessee baseball team bound for Omaha. And here we hit the postseason stretch.
The SEC East Tournament at Knoxville. To have any chance at winning the overall title, Tennessee would have to win their third consecutive Eastern Division tourney. And after losing the opener to Vanderbilt, that didn't look likely. Tennessee would have to win 5 straight games to pull it off. But they did. Amazing. First, Ryan Myers shut out South Carolina 8-0. Next, Schreffel blanked Georgia 11-0. Vanderbilt was eliminated 4-3 as Scott Vieira hit another huge home run. And on Sunday, Tennessee took out upstart Kentucky twice.
First and second, 2 down. The hitter is Andy McCord, 1 out of 3. Outside. Now racing back to the bullpen, Brad Green. It's getting a little tense. The pitch. Hit on the ground to second. Lewis flips to second. Out number 3! And Tennessee has come all the way back from the loser's bracket to win 5 in a row and win their third straight Eastern Division title, their third straight Eastern Division tournament title, and their second straight Southeastern Conference championship. The 1995 SEC champions, the Tennessee Volunteers.
The drama of the tournament and another SEC title overshadowed a wonderful individual accomplishment. Vol second baseman Ed Lewis hit better than 400 in the tourney to finish with an average of over 400 for the Southeastern Conference season. For league play, no other SEC player hit better than Ed Lewis. The steady Lewis didn't have the monster numbers that Helton did, and maybe wasn't as dramatic as Vieira or Schreffel. But in league play, Ed Lewis was the best hitter in the best conference in America. And he was a big reason why Tennessee was the number one seed in the Mideast Regional for the 3rd year in a row. The Mideast Regional, one of the nation's toughest, Georgia Tech, Cal, and Pitt, 3 respected powers. Oklahoma State, one of the country's perennial powers. And Tennessee's first-round opponent, the Citadel, a team that went to the College World Series just 5 years ago. Tennessee would have no first-round bye. It would be yeoman's work to beat the Bulldogs. R.A. Dickey emerged from a slump to provide the gritty innings, and Scott Vieira made the unlikely play that turned Tennessee's 5-2 win.
Batters off with a strike. Scott Vieira breaks for home. The slow delivery gets away from the catcher. He's gone home.
Georgia Tech would be next, and again it was Myers who turned the trick, pitching into the ninth to help Tennessee get a 6-4 win. That set up the matchup, Tennessee against Oklahoma State. The mighty Cowboys, the nation's most power-laden team, were shown power by Tennessee early on, and it came in a mighty burst from right fielder Lance Smith. Then Scott Schreffel added a grand slam. Tennessee would expand the lead to 11-3 before the wheels came off the wagon in the eighth. Schreffel ran out of gas on the mound, and the Cowboys pulled to within one at 11-10. Tennessee looked into their bullpen and found center fielder Scott Schreffel, who came back into the game to save his own 14-10 win. Tennessee had reached the regional final, one win from Omaha, but it would take another win over Oklahoma State to get there. The game turned out to be a classic. The Vols tallied a run early, but wasted several opportunities to expand that lead. Oklahoma State scored in the eighth to tie it at one. It remained that way until the 11th, when Tennessee pushed across two runs.
Here's Schreffel, who's driven in Tennessee's only run. He's 2-for-4, two doubles and an RBI. He's got to look for something to drive on the first pitch.
Sure enough.
Inside, gets away! Here comes Christensen, he'll score! Everybody moves up! And it's 2-1! It's 2-1!
It was time to finish it, and R.A. Dickey was still in the game. The sophomore All-American showed why he was Tennessee's all-time leading winner with incredible courage, a super changeup, and finally, great defense behind him.
McNamara at first, one down. Fastball hit to Helton. Steps on the bag for one. Throw to second. He came off the bag. He's tagged up. He's tagged up. He's tagged up.
Unbelievable.
He's tagged up. The team of destiny is on their way to the field of dreams. Touch that bag, Mom. We're going to Omaha. Unbelievable. My, they won it! And the Tennessee players celebrating on the field.
Look at R.A. Dickey hug.
Dickey goes 11 innings. He went 11 innings for the win. Unbelievable. Tennessee beats Oklahoma State 3-1. And the Vols are going to Omaha for the first time in 44 years. Incredible.
For only the second time in school history, Tennessee was going to the College World Series in Omaha. Everything was new for Tennessee, being among the nation's elite in college baseball. All of the attention and hype that comes with being a College World Series participant and having to attend all of the National Player of the Year banquets. Todd Helton raked in the awards before play even began, including the prestigious Dick Houser Trophy. It was surprising to no fan from Tennessee, since Helton was the school's all-time leader in home runs, runs batted in, doubles, hits, saves, and so many other statistical categories too numerous to name.
But I like to be respected when I come to the plate.
I'm Todd Helton, you know, don't mess with me.
And I like to, you know, kind of be feared.
When I met him, I thought he was real cocky. And I still think that. But,
what's your pitching style?
Sort of like Roger Clemens, sort of just throw the heat at them and they can't touch it.
Just, he loves the game. He loves being out there and messing around, and, you know, it's just like he's a little kid. It's like he's a little kid every day, like Little League, you know, he just loves being out there.
Well, the first thing I admired about him when I first met him was that he was so approachable. He can help you out, you know. You watch him, he's such a great player and such a nice guy, and he's a great guy to be around. And you can learn a lot from playing with a guy that's got physical abilities such as his.
Well, I kind of like it. I mean, it's good to stand out. I might not get some of the pitches I want, but I like to be respected when I come to the plate, and I like to, you know, kind of be feared. I want to go up there and they expect me to hit the ball hard, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh my God.
I just like to win, and when the game gets close, I just get real excited. I don't know, some button clicks on, and I just like to play when it gets close.
At least the first foe in Omaha would be familiar in these highly charged surroundings. Tennessee would face Clemson in Game 4 of the College World Series. The Tigers had beaten Tennessee narrowly in two early season meetings, but Scott Schreffel gave the Diamond Vols the early impetus to make sure it didn't happen again.
Something you don't see every day, the 1-2. Schreffel ropes it high and deep to left center. Going back, Burnham looking up. Adios! Scott Schreffel will touch them all. That is a solo homer, and Tennessee leads Clemson 1-0.
Todd Helton painted a masterpiece with a complete Game 4 hitter, and Tennessee tamed the Tigers 3-1. The Vols had won their first College World Series game since 1951. Next came the Titans of Cal State Fullerton, the eventual national champions. Tennessee fell to Cal State 11-1 on a day where everything seemed to go wrong. The Big Orange faced an elimination game against Stanford. Scott Schreffel and Ryan Myers shined again. Myers threw a complete Game 6 hitter, baffling the Cardinal with his change of pace. Schreffel hit a pair of home runs, giving him 3 for the College World Series, a feat that would earn him a spot on the all-tournament team. The Big Orange had made the bracket final and earned a rematch with Cal State Fullerton. But on this day, Tennessee was greeted with 50-degree temperatures and a wind chill in the mid-30s. It was the day the Big Orange magic finally ran out. The season for the Volunteers ended June 8th with Tennessee going 2-2 and finishing tied for third at the College World Series. It was tough to see it end, but wonderful to think back on what the year had brought.
You guys have set a standard for this program that every team from here on out is going to try to accomplish what you guys accomplished. And not so much on the field. You guys pulled together as a team more so than any ball club I've ever been associated with. So when you leave here, you hold your heads high. Outstanding club. Proud of all of you.
This might not have been Rod Delmonico's most talented team, but it was his toughest. And with the help of assistants Larry Simcox and Dave Serrano, Delmonico molded this team into a champion. 1995 will be forever remembered in Big Orange Country as the year a team of destiny went to their field of dreams. And Tennessee baseball arrived at a level where it's destined to stay as one of the nation's elite programs in college baseball.
And so that, memories and comments, clips, with Mike Keith's calls, from the 1995 Tennessee Volunteers as they were bound for Omaha. And my goodness, just an incredible trip down memory lane, and to hear all of those different voices, just a treat. But no doubt about it, Jimmy. Now, granted, Tennessee would get back to the College World Series in 01 and go again in 05, but that 95 season remains Tennessee's last SEC championship in baseball.
Well, and you think about it, so from 1951 until that team, Tennessee had not made a College World Series. That made it special. That made it extra special to get there. And to obviously have a phenomenal player like Todd Helton, to have R.A. Dickey. There was a lot of either homegrown or home state talent on that baseball team, wasn't there?
No, very much so. And that also made it special. And for Scott Schreffel to come through the way he did and make the College World Series team. It's just a great group of guys and fantastic memories from 25 years ago. But what we will do is get a break. Sports Talk continues as we now head into our All-Star Salute to Baseball. We have got that for the rest of the program. We will have your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6 coming up at the top of the hour. But come on by Food City in Maynardville here on Maynardville Highway. You can see the word that you text in to 68683. Do that before 7 o'clock, and you could be one of two finalists from today's registration. Grand prize winner will have season tickets to Tennessee football, Vols and Lady Vols basketball. You'll also have Tennessee softball, Tennessee baseball, Ice Bears tickets, Titans tickets, and a club seat experience with one of our staffers. So that's all available with this year's Big Ticket 2020 brought to you by Food City. We've got more coming your way as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson here at Food City in Maynardville. You can come by, make sure that you're registered for the Big Ticket 2020. We'll have two finalists from today's registration. You do have to get your text in with the word that we have today for this remote to 68683. You have to have that texted in before 7 o'clock. And we've got a lot of fun coming your way this afternoon, but since we just played the memories from the 1995 Tennessee baseball season, thought this would be it's a shorter segment, but one that I think is something special to remember, because we all know what Vin Scully has meant through the years and years to the sport of baseball. And there's one thing, I mean, you when you have somebody like Todd Helton, who has the career that he put together both in college and in the major leagues, you know the teammates are just going to just have all the compliments, all the praise that you would expect from somebody who turned in a Hall of Fame career. But what really stands out is when those that you compete against take the time to recognize your stepping aside. So hadn't thought about these for a couple of years, but also remembered how special they were. So when Todd Helton was concluding his final season as a Major League Baseball player with the Colorado Rockies, he made the trip to Los Angeles, and it was then the Dodger broadcast legend Vin Scully shared his thoughts on what it was like to watch Todd Helton's entire career.
Hi, everybody. This is Vin Scully, and right now I'd like to turn the clock back and also turn the subject from baseball to football. In 1994, UCLA played its first football game of the season in the Rose Bowl against the University of Tennessee. The quarterback for Tennessee was injured, and the new quarterback was a fellow by the name of Todd Helton. 3 weeks later, Helton hurt his knee, and his job was taken over by Peyton Manning. And because of that, Todd Helton decided then to put all of his energies towards baseball. And for 17 years, he's been in the big leagues. Todd, no man has ever been honored for what he received. The honor is the reward he receives for what he gave. And you gave us 17 incredible years. Let's just look at some of the numbers. A 317 lifetime batting average, 369 home runs, over 1,400 runs batted in, and for good measure, over 2,500 base hits. It has been a career that has been marked by high energy, enthusiasm, and above all, hard work, summed up in one word, and that would be class. You know, Todd, we all can't be heroes. Most of us have to sit on the curb as the heroes go by, and all we can do is clap. Well, I've been one of those people sitting on the curb throughout those 17 years, saluting you and your grand career. And I know I'm a bit presumptuous when I speak for the Dodger organization, for all the fans in Southern California, and for that matter, all the fans who love baseball, to wish you well. Along with your wife, Christy, and your two daughters, may God bless you in your new life. And Todd, we will miss you immensely in this game. We understand there were some tears in Denver the night that you retired at home. Maybe not tears here, but on behalf of all of those Dodger pitchers who you mistreated for so many years, have a wonderful life after baseball.
Vin Scully. With what was his farewell message to Todd Helton. And Jimmy, it was one of there were so many special moments, but that I think would have to be one of the most special when you get that kind of recognition from somebody who, of course, had essentially seen it all.
Well, that was really cool to hear that. And I know that Todd Helton appreciated that. He had to. I do wonder how many players were honored in similar fashion by Vin Scully. I bet you that's not a real long list. I don't know that. But I thought it was, what did he say at the end for the mistreatment of the Dodger pitchers or something yes. like that, the way he handled them? I thought that was a pretty good line from Vin Scully. But that, I remember when that happened and when Vin Scully made that tribute to Todd Helton. I thought that was very special just for me to hear it. And, you know, it had to be even more special for Todd Helton to hear it.
Well, and I think you make the fantastic point. I would guarantee it wouldn't take long to call the roll for the players that Vin Scully took the time to record and share a message and thoughts like that. What we'll do is get back on time. So we'll get a break and be back with a final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams on the program today here in Maynardville at Food City. Come get registered for the big ticket. Also take advantage of the Q Smoked Meats as they have those on sale here in the Maynardville location this weekend. Now, they are out of the brisket for today, but they're back tomorrow. They've got the pulled pork. They've got the wings. They've got all kinds of great food available with the Q Smoked Meats. Jimmy, that's such a staple of summer. When you get to follow the smoker on its tour from one food city to the next.
Well, I love it. And so Steve Hamer likes his beef hot dogs, right? I
yes.
love that smoker, those smokers at Food City. They were fantastic. Love it. They got that certified Angus beef that's unbelievable. Boy, it just doesn't get any better than that at Food City.
It does not, and that's where you can come today in Maynardville and get registered for the Big Ticket 2020. Text in the word that we have shown on our table to 68683. You'll be entered for today's drawing, and there'll be two finalists from today's registration. A final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk is next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The Sports Animal and Alexa are best friends. Just tell her, Alexa, enable the 99.1 The Sports Animal skill.
Skill enabled.
Then anytime you want immediate Tennessee sports info, say, Alexa, play 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Okay, playing 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Driving down the street today, I saw a sign for lemonade. We're the cutest kids I'd ever seen in this.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
So from Field of Dreams, we have that classic speech. And why don't we go into another collection, or I should say a classic. It's not a monologue. It's a scene. It's a dialogue. But is normally this is what we drop in when we do our sports comedy bits right in towards Christmas. But you know what? With the time and everything, I think we could all use a good laugh. So why don't we hear a little bit more about baseball from our friends Abbott and Costello.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
I'm their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find
out. I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Oh, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name?
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
That's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first
base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to
who?
The contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
That's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base.
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
Right? I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Guy's name on first
base. No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's begin.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base
right.
And don't go off it?
All right, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base!
Look, you got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on
second. Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He is
field.
Look, you got a pitcher on a team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name.
Tamara.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tamara.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name.
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitcher.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the guy out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I said.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you asked me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same
it.
As you.
Don't change them around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I'm an idiot. Come on.
It never gets old.
It is so well written. I mean, the timing of it as well. That's a remarkable skit. It just really is. Really brilliant.
So we look forward to bringing you more of that in our final hour of Sports Talk. We do have your chance to win with the Sports Fix at 6. That's coming up next. But again, we'll have more of our All-Star Salute to Baseball and give you the opportunity you have until 7 o'clock, just before 7 o'clock, to come here to the Food City in Maynardville and text today's word to 68683, and you'll be registered for the Big Ticket 2020 as brought to you by Food City. We'll have two finalists from today's registration. So again, another hour of Sports Talk. And to get online and get ready for your trivia guests, 656-9900, 656-9900. Jimmy Hyams back in Knoxville in an undisclosed location. I'm John Wilkerson here in Maynardville at Food City, as you can come on by and get registered for the Big Ticket. Another hour of Sports Talk is coming up on 99.1 The Sports Animal.